Hello and welcome to episode 66 of Good Copy, Bad Copy, the B2B copywriting podcast. I'm Fiona Campbell-Howes, founder and managing director at Radix, and you find me alone at the controls of this special edition of the podcast. For this episode, I'm looking at two things you might think can never mix, B2B marketing and comedy. As comedy is such a subjective thing, is it possible to be genuinely funny in B2B while still generating leads and conversions and without damaging your brand equity? And if so, what's the best way to go about it? I've talked to three people who know both worlds for their thoughts, tips and experiences. Keep listening for my interviews with Craig Beadle, a comedy reviewer who's also a copywriter at world-famous B2B content marketing agency Velocity Partners, Paulina Yamsa, who's a senior marketing manager at Siemens by day and a stand-up comic by night, and Richard Preddy, a scriptwriter who's worked on shows like Harry Enfield and Chums, The Farce Show and Green Wing, but who also regularly lends his comedy chops to corporate clients for writing projects. As ever, if you have any questions or comments about this episode, do give us a shout. You can send an email or voice memo to podcast at radix-communications.com or tweet us at radixcom. That's RADIXCOM. So I'm joined by Craig Beadle, who is a B2B copywriter at Velocity Partners in London. Hi, Craig.
Hiya.
Thanks very much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Ian.
So do you want to just sort of describe in a few words, you know, you're a B2B copywriter. I guess that's your main job.
Yeah, that's right.
But you're also kind of involved in the world of comedy. And do you want to kind of explain how you're involved in that world?
Yeah, so it's kind of a bit of a mixed bag, really. So I've done comedy journalism before. So I've written for a number of comedy websites. I've done comedy writing, so actually writing the comedy myself. And I've also organised stand-up comedy nights with people like Stuart Lee and Joe Brand and Milton Jones, which I did for charity, which was kind of a really fun thing to be involved with. And then from that, I dabbled in stand-up comedy myself for a little while, but it really wasn't for me at all. And I did it for charity, so I had a good excuse to get out, I thought.
Superb. So was kind of comedy your first love and then you got into copywriting, or how did it come about?
It's kind of a bit of both. So I did a marketing degree at university. And while I was there, I was also doing comedy writing on the side. And then from university, I got a marketing job and then started the freelance comedy journalism. And then I got the job working for a charity where I was organising comedy while also writing their marketing. So it was kind of a bit of both. So Velocity is actually my first full-time writing job. And it was really the humour in the way that they write that really attracted me to the role. So some of the pieces that they've written before are things like Crap, the Single Biggest Threat to B2B Content Marketing, and Managing Expectations in Content Marketing, A Pretty Good Guide. So I remember seeing those and immediately thinking, this is somewhere I really want to write, because they seem to get the kind of the humor element that I really like and I find really compelling. They were using that and in a way that I found really compelling as well. So I definitely wanted to kind of combine the two, and this seemed the perfect place.
Brilliant. So you're in an agency where it's actually encouraged to use comedy and to use humour in the work that you do. And do you find that you're able to do that with client work as well as with anything that you might write for Velocity themselves as an agency?
Yeah, so to a certain extent. So I think that a lot of clients really like the idea of humour in theory, but maybe when it comes down to it, push back a little bit. And I think some of the reasons for that might be that maybe they overthink the comedy that's in it. So you put a joke in and they're worried that not everyone's going to get it, or people might worry that they're the subject of the joke. So they're the target that is kind of being joked about. And you don't really want that when it comes to copywriting. But for the most part, I think clients definitely want more comedy. It's just whether they kind of go for it wholeheartedly or just sort of mouth service to it.
Yeah, and I think that's a really interesting point that you made about, you know, if you are if you're writing marketing copy and you're trying to bring comedy and humour into it, the person you're writing for can't be the butt of the joke. So,
yeah.
You know, you almost have to, you can attack an idea, I guess, or a way of doing things or be funny about that, but not about the person that's going to be reading it.
Yeah, definitely. And there was an example recently where I'd written, it was an online quiz that we were putting together for a client, and we had four answers per question, and one of the answers for each one I put as a joke. So it wasn't a target at the person, but it was, in a way, it was meant to be a kind of a mea culpa. So if this is the bad way of doing it, by putting that in, if people did relate to it, they kind of know it's the wrong thing to be doing, but they kind of saw themselves in it. But the hope was most people would say, oh, well, I'm not that bad, so I'll go for the second option, and it would make them feel a bit better about themselves. And then I showed that to my boss, and he kind of said, the problem with that theory is that, for one, you're using a quarter of all of the available answers as a kind of joke thing, so you're losing one quarter of all of the possible information you could get from that question. But wider, just if someone were to put that answer and then their boss found out, like, how would their boss take it if they were suddenly said that they put this jokey answer down? So from kind of B2B context, it's not necessarily even just the person you're speaking to, it's everyone within their organization and how they would react to the same thing being said.
Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And I've actually, just you saying that makes me think that I also wrote a kind of online questionnaire self-assessment thing where every fourth answer was a comedy answer, which actually makes me think, you know, one of the things I wanted to talk to you about was if there are particular formats that are more, you know, lend themselves more to comedy in B2B. And I thought maybe that's one, you know, the self-assessment questionnaire where one answer is quite obviously the comedy answer. But maybe that's not a good format. But, you know, what do you think? Are there any, is it easier to make a blog funny than a white paper? Or, you know, what do you think?
I think there's nowhere where you can't be funny, but I think there's also nowhere where you have to be funny. So I think a lot of brands, they kind of tie comedy in with standing out. They think it's the only way to do it. So we want to be different. If we put some jokes in, that'll be enough. But I think you can be different. So you can be fresh, you can be original without necessarily being funny. And if what you're going for is to stand out, then you kind of got to ask yourself the question, well, is comedy necessarily the right way? But for different formats, I think video is the big one where everyone wants to be funny. You kind of have it in your head that you see funny videos, you find them really compelling, you remember them, you share them with your friends, family, that sort of thing. And there are some really, really good funny videos in B2B marketing, but it's something that I think works better for B2C, really, because, again, it comes back to that thing, if your boss sees it, if you decide to get a new database system based off the fact that you found a video kind of funny, then it's a bit of an odd one to kind of pass up the chain and say, yeah, we should definitely get this. Here's why.
Yeah. So maybe it's more of a kind of funnel thing where you can be a bit funny and quirky at the top of the funnel, but by the time you get down to the real information that you're going to pass on to your boss, you want to be a little bit more serious because there's going to be a business decision, maybe a quite big business decision involved in it. Yeah,
exactly. And there have been some like really high profile videos as well. So we share videos around whenever we see them that we really like. And my boss shared one the other day that it had an actor that was in Casino, I think it was, the movie. And it was like really big names that were in it. And you kind of look at it and it's for like it was a CRM system or something like that. And you're just thinking, it's just crazy like how much money they're putting into getting this video together and what they're hoping to get out of it. Like whether those two kind of correlate in the same way necessarily.
And I guess, you know, one thing that I was going to say when you said, you know, Velocity's got this certain style, and I think this is actually important when you're thinking about comedy as well, is that, you know, Velocity definitely not there for everybody. So they know exactly, well, you know, you guys as an agency know exactly who you want to work with. And so you kind of know what that ideal prospect is going to respond to and is going to find funny. You're like almost on the same wavelength as the people that you want to work with. Whereas maybe some, you know, big B2B brands, they often want to, you know, spread the net as wide as possible. And so maybe going with comedy is like narrowing down the audience too much for them.
Yeah. So that's one of Doug's big things, is the idea of insane honesty. So you're not going to be for everyone. That's just basically a statement of fact for most companies. So if you're completely honest about who you are right for and you're completely honest about who you're not right for, then there's something quite almost uplifting where you sort of realize it and you're like, oh, okay, so this is what we're aiming for. How can we talk about that? And insane honesty, for the most part, tends to come out as comedy because it's so refreshing to hear someone say, you know, well, actually, this type of person isn't necessarily right for us. So the type of CRM system we make is only going to work for you if X, Y, Z. And to hear someone say that, it almost kind of feels taboo. You're like, can marketers actually do that? Is that something they're allowed to do? And there is that kind of reaction to it. So I think, yeah, by leading with that, it makes it a lot easier to have that mindset of, if we're not appealing to everyone, who are we appealing to and how do we appeal to them best?
Yeah. And so so Velocity is a B2B brand and is one that has used comedy to really good effect in its own work and materials. But are there any other B2B brands out there that you've seen using comedy and doing it really well?
There was one that we shared recently, actually. So it was a company called Sandwich Videos who made some videos for Wistia, a video hosting platform. And they made three versions of the same video. So they made, it was one that cost $100,000, one that cost $10,000, and one that cost $1,000. So you've got the $100,000 video. It's really all the bells and whistles. It's got glamorous actors everywhere, all the best lighting. Then you've got the 10,000 one, which is, you know, fewer people on stage at any one time, but still really good. And then 1,000, a person talking to camera. And the way they played them all together, so you can see the person in the $1,000 video in the background of the big video, like trying to do his thing, and they ask him to go somewhere else. And then you watch his video and you see where he then went to. And it's the way that they all work together. It was just really fun. And I was sat there kind of watching one, and there was no reason for me to watch the other. I'd seen all of the content of them because they'd explained the whole idea behind their system in each video, but I still sat and watched all three of them. It was really, really compelling.
Cool. Well, look out for that. And have you seen anybody getting it wrong, or, you know, have you seen comedy used to very poor effect or misfiring in B2B?
Yeah. So without naming any names, some like general rules that seem to come up quite often is people who use puns that amuse the writer maybe more than the person reading it. So one of the worst examples I ever saw of this was, it was a B2B blog. I think it was a copywriting blog, actually. It was explaining how to do analytics, something along those lines. And the question it was trying to answer was, what are your favorite elements to test? And the person writing it saw the word elements and just ran with it. So I've got it written here. So it was my favorite element to test is gold, commonly known as revenue. I was like, okay, that one sort of makes sense. And then seeing how much traffic we can generate, commonly known as traffic. Okay, right, yeah. And he just does this the whole way through.
Oh,
so,
no.
I like testing titanium. Okay. And then testosterone, which isn't even an element. But he saw just the whole thing just became unreadable because he clearly saw this one thing that he could make work. Elements is a pun. Let's run with it. And he had fun. So there was even one time that we managed to get it wrong. So it was before I started here, but the story has almost become legend here. We had someone write a blog post. So the theme of the blog post was handling negative feedback. And the title that he'd given the blog post was "No, Fuck You, How to Handle Negative Feedback," which we laughed at. So it was fine. We sent it out as an email without really thinking how that would appear if that was the subject line of an email landing in someone's e-box. So someone opened it, saw the emails, saw this email waiting for them, got a bit annoyed, sent us an email saying like, oh, I didn't expect this. I'm going to unsubscribe. And we kind of thought, oh, you know, maybe that's the line we've at least learned. And then we got a second email from her saying, I just tried to unsubscribe. And when I click the unsubscribe button, it says, goodbye, you cold, heartless bastard. So that after that, we were just like, oh, so, okay, even we get it wrong occasionally.
Yeah, I guess you do have to kind of experiment and learn the hard way sometimes. Yeah, yeah. So I guess, you know, just the last thing is, you know, if anybody's listening to the podcast and, you know, wants some advice on how to make a piece of B2B marketing funny, or, you know, whether they should or shouldn't, what would be your kind of top tips?
Yeah, so I would say the main thing is to decide why you want it to be funny. So like, as I sort of said earlier, going back to that, it's if you have a reason that you want it to be funny, that is to stand out or something, is there a different way that you could do that? So the insane honesty, it shows you're credible, or maybe there's a particular trope within your sector that you want to kind of play around with and say, we're doing things differently, this is how. So you can do that quite effectively with comedy. But when it's marketing, you need a reason for everything. And like with the viral video thing, if your video does go viral and tens of thousands of people see it, how many of them are necessarily in a position to buy enterprise level cloud servers or something like that? It's the overlap. You've got to kind of consider that side of things as well.
Fantastic. Craig, thank you very much indeed for joining me today. That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you.
No problem at all. Thanks very much.
So I'm talking to Paulina Jamsa, and you're a global senior online marketing manager at Siemens. Is that right?
That's right, and it sounds very fancy, right?
So thank you very much for talking to me today, Paulina. I really appreciate your time.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure.
Great. So so just to start off, could you sort of just explain a bit about how you're involved in B2B marketing and how you're involved in comedy? What do those two worlds look like for you?
For over 12 years in digital marketing, I worked in agencies, in startups for SAP, Microsoft, and now Siemens. Right now, I give digital strategy advice on B2B for over 70 countries, which is pretty cool. Yeah, what really makes my heart sing actually is getting people unstuck and succeed in life. Because right now, as you know, the world has changed a lot. Like, I'm an old millennial, and I used to believe in long-term career in one company, right? But again, I saw industries dying and giants, they're falling, and you kind of realize that that's no more reality. But then again, thanks to all this free movement and technology, it also gives us a lot of opportunities. So, you know, we can choose where we're working from. We can actually have a career we love, because we can even have our own company, or we can set up a corporate career. So right now in corporate, what I'm doing is I'm also helping as executive coach people to deal with changes and see the opportunities and not just threats that they might have.
Okay, great. I've also seen that you do stand-up comedy, and I think I've seen that you've done over sort of 70 stand-up appearances. How long have you been doing that for?
For 1 year and a half now. I also... This basically started because I also speak in different conferences across the world. And 5 years ago, I was absolutely terrified of public speaking. I was so scared that I was basically in tears when I had to present something for five people in my own team, right? And I thought it was ridiculous. So I started doing presentation courses, and then I, 1 year and a half ago, I decided I'd take it up to the next level and do stand-up comedy, and I absolutely fell in love with it. It was the best decision I've ever made.
Fantastic. And that is a really brave decision to make. For somebody that doesn't like public speaking, to decide to do stand-up is really brave. So I salute you for that. And what sort of topics do you cover in your stand-up? Do you bring your sort of work life into it, or is it completely separate?
Well, it's more that when I do stand-up comedy, I joke a lot about... I'm pretty sarcastic. So I talk a lot about real-life stories, about my heritage, of course. I'm from Finland. I make fun out of British people as I'm here. But it actually works much more vice versa, because now that I do presentations in B2B events, I just was in Amsterdam actually, it's all about storytelling. It's all about using sense of humor. Because when you go normally to B2B events, you just see a bunch of bullet points and it's quite boring and dry content, right? So I start the whole presentation with bit of humor, making fun out of myself a little bit of the conference stereotypes, and then I tell an emotional story, which is authentic story, what happened to me, and then I go to the useful content that I'm going to talk about. So I maybe don't use my work in stand-up comedy, but I definitely use stand-up comedy at my work.
Okay, so this is really interesting. So you definitely believe there's a place for comedy in our world, which is B2B marketing, but it sounds like you use it when you're live in front of an audience, so you can kind of gauge, you know, how your audience is responding. Do you ever use it in writing, like, you know, writing any marketing materials that, you know, your audience isn't there and you don't quite know how they might respond, or is it more in a kind of person-to-person situation?
To be honest, I've been writing my blog for 11 years now, and I use a lot of humor in that. For example, I publish a lot of posts on LinkedIn, use emotional storytelling, use a lot of humor. And right now, for example, I was so sick of seeing just positive and success stories on social channels, you know, because you just compare your life to other people's lives, and it's quite depressing because everyone seems to be doing better than you. So I launched this failure challenge. So every single week, I'm posting a blog post and a video about the personal failure that I've done in the past 35 years and what I learned from it. And stand-up comedy is all about dealing with difficult things and making fun out of it. So all those videos and content that I'm doing, I always have the little glint in the eye, so to speak. So it's done with a sense of humor, which makes even serious topics much more fun. And I do use it also in internal blog posts, etc., more like internal comms. But that sense of humor actually creates a much better culture, because when you feel like you're respected and communication is open and you can actually have fun with your colleagues, that's when you really love working for a company.
It's that humor really works when it's you, when it's a personal thing, when it's you talking as you. But do you think that a brand can be funny?
Absolutely, but the huge advice here is it needs to be your voice. So I have a voice and I'm authentic. So is the brand. So as a brand, if you're fluffy and you don't really have personality, and then you try to be funny, the key here is try to be funny, no one's going to laugh and people will be delighted to misunderstand your joke. You know, it's all about the personality also as a brand. So if you as a brand, you have a strong personality, it's you, you can use a sense of humor, for example, in your copywriting for blog, for example. I would maybe not use it on the website, but definitely you can use it in the blog, in videos, social comms, when you're answering people, kind of lighthearted and you being you. That's why the whole brand voice is so important and brand personality, because humor, it can't be very complex because it can't be misunderstood. And when you're a B2B brand, you need to be super careful there.
Mm. And I think it's particularly important, perhaps in B2B, because we're often talking to an international audience. We're not writing for, you know, one country or one culture, and that makes it, I think, extra difficult to be humorous.
But that's another thing, because I do speak with 70 different countries. I think, yeah, for past 10 years, I've always been in European roles, handling different cultures, even in London, right? When I do stand-up comedy, or if I do my presentations, there's about 20 different nationalities at least, different backgrounds. And the way you can break, the way you can actually break these fear of using humor is you make fun out of things that everyone can relate to. I joke about conference call systems all the time with my Chinese colleagues as much as US colleagues, and everyone gets it, right? I can joke about processes or tools that are a bit silly, right? And everyone gets it. So it's all about finding a common topic that everyone gets, and it's a real life situation that you haven't made up. Actually, it's a brand, but the person who's writing the copy, it must have happened to them or some other person they know, because it needs to be a real story. Because if it's not a real story, then it sounds fake and people are not going to like it.
Okay, so this is really interesting. So you're kind of looking for common experiences or shared experiences that you know the audience will have experienced, and that's where you can find the comedy in that. So you know what they will recognise. And something else that you said a little bit earlier was interesting as well, because I'm interested in looking at, you know, if there are any formats that lend themselves more to humour than others. And you mentioned, well, you mentioned internal comms and sort of in-person presentations, but you also said video and social media and blogs. It does feel like it's more the kind of either personal or kind of top of funnel type content where you can bring in humour, but maybe a little bit further down the line when you get into white papers and what have you, that's the place to be serious.
Well, I wouldn't say so, because let's say, for example, it's all about the voice and the brand, right? Yeah. So if you're in the top of the funnel and you kind of get interested because you think, hey, if I sign up for this marketing automation, okay, I know that I'm going to get bombarded by emails. If, you know, my decision is based on what you're saying on the top, right? And I find it funny, I find it interesting. And then if you would switch it to boring content, I'm sorry to say boring, but sometimes when we get too serious, it becomes very formal, and it's not a pleasure to read it. So if you go that route, you need to make sure that the communication then is still aligned until the end of the funnel. So all these marketing automation emails, they should still have this humor tone of voice that then makes the blog. But what comes to white paper is something that I would pass for my boss, for example. And now there, I would prefer it not to have a sense of humor, like maybe a little bit, but it should be more about the facts.
You know, maybe apart from the brands that you've worked for, are there any B2B brands you see out there that do comedy really well or do humor really well?
I think a lot of brands, they feel more free when they speak in events or when they do videos. But what comes to marketing content, they still like to be a bit conservative. So it's a difficult thing to say.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that just kind of brings me to the last thing, which would be, you know, what would be your top two or three tips for other marketers, or maybe for copywriters like myself and the rest of us here at Radix when we're writing for our clients? What would be your tips if we were setting out to include humour into something that we were writing?
When you're writing something, you need to address the pain points that customers have, right? And then you provide them solutions. So instead of looking at just the pain points, ask the client or ask your colleagues if you're a brand, or ask even your customers. Like, do you identify with this? And they say, yes. Ah, do you have a story? Like, do you have a funny story about this? And believe me, they do. For example, one of the points I talk about when I'm speaking is that people leave people and not companies. And then I say, hey guys, you all know that manager, why you left the company, and everyone relates to it, right? So same thing if you have a pain point, that keeps you up night, or the customer has a pain point that keeps them up night. Start with the story that they absolutely can relate to. And they find it funny because they think, oh, yeah, I remember I missed that meeting because of this, or I remember, yeah, that was actually funny. So you get these stories from people who have experienced this pain point. So you have the real story that has happened, and you bet that that same story has happened to many of your other target customers. So that's one tip. Other thing is, never try to be funny, because instead of comedy, there are certain people who die on stage. The reason why they die on stage is that they're trying to be someone else. They're trying to be funny, and that just doesn't work because the audience doesn't connect with you. Like, in your brain says, it should be funny, but you're still not laughing. And that's because you can see that it's not authentic, it's fake. So you always have to use your sense of humor or your brand voice and put yourself in the position of the customer or position as the brand. Like, if the brand would be a person, what type of person would it be? And then you write as that person with that sense of humor, and it works much better.
Brilliant. I think those are two fantastic tips. And, you know, especially on the first one, you know, we're always encouraging writers and marketers to talk to customers anyway. But asking customers for their kind of anecdotes and funny stories that you can then use with others who've been in that situation, I think that's genius. So thank you very much for that. And thank you in general, Pauline. It's been really great talking to you, and thank you very much for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely, my pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
So I'm joined by Richard Preddy by the magic of Skype. And Richard, you are a comedy writer extraordinaire and also occasional copywriter, is that right?
I think that's fair. Thank you for the extraordinaire bit. Yeah, I mean, I started as a comedy writer 25 years ago with Harry Enfield and The Fast Show. And I've done various other sketch shows and sitcoms and kids stuff and whatever since then. But yes, you're right. About 10 years ago, I also started doing some copywriting, including business-to-business. Although, just to apologise, I use the terms quite loosely. My comedy stuff I tend to think of as narrative, and the other stuff I sort of call corporate or something. So some of the things I might be talking about may not be specifically business to business, but they will be in that sort of, they'll be in that marketing world, but may not be specifically business to business.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely fine. And I think quite a few of the writers and marketing people that listen to the podcast are also in the B2C, your business to consumer world, as yeah. Well. So I think it's all valid and fine. what kind of made you get into the copywriting side of things, I guess, if your kind of your career had been in comedy up to that point?
I suppose I was presented with the opportunity to do it and thought that sounds interesting. And I think it was the fact that a director I'd worked with on a television comedy project also diversified himself into doing corporate work, and he had a corporate project he thought I might be good for, and I really enjoyed doing that, and it just sort of continued in a slightly ad hoc way from there.
Brilliant. And do you get asked to do projects in the corporate world that are specifically sort of comedy projects? Is that why you kind of get on board, or do you kind of write serious stuff as well?
Yes, I'm often approached on a particular project, usually by somebody I've worked with before, because they know of my comedy background. But having said that, with one agency in particular, things have morphed a little bit. I started off doing comedy, but then I also seem to be quite good at distilling a lot of information in a clear way, and sort of turning quite heavy copy into a lighter sort of presentation. So with them, it's serious stuff as well as sometimes more lighthearted projects.
Okay. And so when you are sort of working on corporate work and you're aiming to include comedy in it, or, you know, make it funny, is it a different process from, you know, when you're writing comedy for TV? Do you have to kind of think in a different way about how you write the corporate material to be funny?
Yes, you do. I suppose it's you have to think more about whether something is appropriate. I was thinking that I did a film a few years ago for an multinational oil company. And like most oil companies, they were sort of quite sensitive. It was for their shareholders' annual meeting, a little animated film to sort of talk about the issues over the year. And like most oil companies, they are sensitive around environmental issues and employment issues, and they wanted to touch on those. And, you know, when you're given that sort of brief, it's immediately apparent that it's not a time to pitch an idea about dancing chickens or whatever. So, you know, what I did there was just try to turn that into something that was sort of that had clarity and a lightness of touch. But no, there was no attempt there to be funny, really. Often people have made the decision to that they want something funny or wry or interesting or slightly out of the ordinary, and that's why they get me on it. So I suppose I'm saying it's not an entirely blank canvas. Those parameters have been set.
Yeah, and do you find that, you know, if you've been brought on board with that specific expectation, do you find that the client receives what you've written well, or do you find that sometimes, you know, they don't understand what you've done, or, you know, how does your comedy writing get received by clients in the corporate world?
It's interesting. The way I work is solely really through an intermediary in terms of an agency, different forms of agencies who've employed me. So there's a sort of a layered process. There's an extra layer between me and the client. And I have had it happen before that the agency's been approached by someone in the client company because they've decided they want to do something funny or unusual or different. I pitch ideas to the client with the agency. Client gets excited that they are going to do something different. And it's at that point that the client's boss gets involved. It's the first he or she has heard of it. And there can be them saying, why are we doing this rather than a film with a voiceover explaining what's going on while we watch somebody typing on a computer? So that can be a little annoying, I suppose. But yes, having said that, I've had good feedback. I was thinking in particular a while back I did a few videos for telling it's an internal communications project for a large company, and it's all about the right way and the wrong way of approaching various tasks. And I did that by creating a character who does things broadly the right way and a character who broadly does things the wrong way. And basically it's like writing sketches, but with, you know, quite a focused approach. And we certainly got some very good feedback for those, yeah.
Excellent. I think, you know, one of the things that I'm interested in is in this kind of B2B corporate world, are there formats that lend themselves better to comedy? So I think, do you always do video, or do you write in sort of purely written formats at all, or is it always visual writing?
The bulk of it does have another layer. It's not text. It is, you know, live action or animation largely. I've done some cartoon work as well. I mean, drawn cartoons, captions for drawn cartoons. And I think possibly the difference is that people generally don't expect marketing communications to have a humorous element to them, in my experience. And when it's all about tone of voice to deliver something funny, I think that is easier if it's being performed, narrated in some way, than it would be for somebody coming to it cold, seeing a block of text and just thinking, what is this, and taking a while to acclimatise to it.
Yeah, no, that's interesting, because it does seem to be that video almost is the place where you can be most successful in bringing comedy into it. And I think partly it's because You haven't, you're kind of appealing to people on an emotional basis then, and then the kind of business decision comes later, and then you need the kind of serious stuff a bit later on in the kind of decision-making process, if you like, where you can be a bit light-hearted up front with a kind of short, quirky video that introduces an idea or a topic.
Absolutely, yeah. I've done a few films that are exactly that I've persuaded, or the agency, the director has persuaded the client to accept this film is not going to say a massive amount in detail about your business. It's there just to make a splash, just to look different, look surprising, hook people's attention, and off the back of that, we queue up the second film, or the call to action is, you know, give us a call and we'll talk it through further. So I think that it is quite valuable in that regard.
Okay. And are there, you know, putting your own work aside, I guess, for the moment, are there any kind of brands, companies out there that you see doing a comedy and doing it well?
One that came to mind, because it was something that someone on a current project recommended to me, is a company, a brand that I've not heard of before, called Zendesk. What they did was exactly that, exactly what we were just talking about. They created a 3-minute film, the conceit of which, the story of which is, there's a fictional, I guess, well, yes, definitely fictional band, also called Zendesk, who were formed 10 or 15 years ago. They're a sort of grunge rock band. And they have accepted, the story is they have accepted money from Zendesk, the company, to go back into the studio and do a grunge album about customer service software.
Right.
It's just done really well. It's a little bit sweary. It's a little bit, no one's going to watch it and believe it's real, but you suspend enough disbelief to think, I'm entertained by this. This company is willing to do something different, to present itself differently. So I was quite impressed by that. Having said that, I then went onto the Zendesk website and found it largely impenetrable. But that's because I'm not the target market. I'm not somebody wanting to rationalise my help desk, because I don't have a help desk. So
yes.
I guess for the appropriate people to be pulled in by the film would be very valuable for them.
Yeah, and I guess that's a kind of a brand awareness thing for them as well, to do that video. So I guess, you know, just the last thing is, you know, if you with your background and your experience, and, you know, the people that listen to this podcast, they are B2B writers and they're B2B marketers, and they might be, you know, really wanting to kind of introduce some comedy into the work that they do. Do you have any advice for getting it right in this particular world?
I think part of it is about the process. Well, I think I've heard myself use the word appropriate quite a few times in this chat. I think, yeah, what you're proposing has to be appropriate. And I think in terms of process, you need to be reasonably confident that your client and your client's boss, as mentioned earlier, are on board with trying something that they may not be familiar with. I was writing a piece the other day, and I thought, this is going really well. It's hopefully funny or arresting and interesting. And then I did a thing which is quite an obvious thing to suggest, but to leave it a little bit, then read it back, just thinking about your target audience hearing it for the first time. And when you do that, that's when I realise, okay, no, it's in the right area, but it really needs tweaking, because it's not right for them. It's right for me sort of offloading my sort of comedy ideas onto them, but it wouldn't work for them. And also another part of the process I was thinking about was clarity in what you are proposing actually is. One of the agencies I was working with, the account executive, would sit down with me and the client and absolutely handhold the client and walk them through the script, to the extent where they would say things like, okay, this line here, this is sarcasm, whereas here, this is funny. And it sounds idiotic, but the client, who was nervous about the process, just sort of, right, okay, I get it. You're not trying to do voodoo. You're not trying to surprise me. This is what your intentions are. Yeah, I suppose I'm saying, don't assume that your idea will necessarily stand alone.
Wonderful. Richard, thank you very much for joining me. That's absolutely brilliant. Thank you very much.
It's been great to talk to you. Thank you.
And that's all we have time for, I'm afraid. I do hope you've enjoyed this inquiry into comedy and B2B. Huge thanks to Craig, Paulina and Richard for making the time to speak to me and for their excellent thoughts and tips. If you have any questions for them, or if you'd like to comment on anything in this podcast, do get in touch. You can email us at podcast@radix-communications.com, or you can even send us a voice memo. And if you fancy listening to more great stuff about various aspects of B2B marketing and copywriting, do check out our audio blogs. They're like blogs, but instead of you reading them, our creative director David Maguire reads them to you, so you can focus on driving to work, walking the dog, or ironing your duvet cover. You'll find them on our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly tips and advice emails. Lastly, and in case all that wasn't enough, you can also find us on Twitter at radixcom. Until next time, thank you very much for listening.